Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in to our daily editorial. The big news, really, of late is that Julian Assange is getting extradited from the UK back to the United States. Jimmy, what do you think about that? What's going to happen to him, in your opinion? I think probably cooler heads are going to prevail, and I think they're going to let the guy go. What do you think?
Well, I hope that's the case in some respects. I'm a guy that was of the five articles that were posted on the front page of the New York Times. One of them was in an embassy, and it was a message that I was involved with, and I understood the understanding behind it, you know, what was going on behind it. And it was actually important to have that transparency. Mm-hmm. At the same time, 850,000 messages that are classified messages really did put Americans at risk. Now, if it was the New York Times or the Washington Post or anybody else publishing that information, there would absolutely be no justification for putting them in prison and in jail. And I think that is what the fairness issue is here. The guy was trying to force, Julian Assange was trying to force transparency in the world over issues that were very dangerous. And so in that respect, you know, I think that people ought to look very hard at this, and I think that, you know, if he actively solicited or used people to circumvent national security issues, that's a different story. But I'm certainly not going to be proud of the fact that having somebody that provided transparency out there in the world for any journalist that would face the penalties. And I think the people that are jumping on the bandwagon that say that he needs to be hung or whatever, I think they're not looking at it very deeply. And I believe people like Mike Pompeo, that probably is going to hurt their presidential opportunities. Because, look, even the left can agree that we want transparency in the system.
Well, but Barack Obama provided that transparency, Jimmy, isn't that?
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, you know, the comment I want to make is that thanks to this book, The Success Lie, that I have read by Janelle Brulin, I'm starting to think on issues a lot clearer than I have in the past. I'm pushing things that are not necessary in my decision-making process out the door. They don't even affect me anymore. I think Assange, really, quite frankly, one could argue that perhaps he could have put some lives in jeopardy, but I'm not really sure that's true, Jim. Would you elaborate on that for me?
Well, he did. He put, actually, by publishing a lot of that information, I will just tell you there were people that suffered from it, and there were definitely some negative impacts on intelligence. I mean, that's just a reality.
Yeah,
that happens pretty much every day with the New York Times and the Washington Post and Bloomberg and ABC, CBS, NBC. Mm-hmm. I remember Geraldo Rivera, I think he was on Fox, and he's actually drawing a picture of the, you know, LD and where the military was going to cross. That happens all the time. The amount of information, the volume information that was released, I just, the guy that did it was PFC Bradley Manning, right? Mm-hmm. Now, quote, Chelsea Manning or whatever, who's attempted suicide, that's a total, you know, psychologically a mess, that actually turned in, that gave this information, and then, you know, this and spent time in jail for it. But I'll tell you, nowhere near suffering as much as Julian Assange has, and he's getting support and funding from, you know, volunteers and people that go out and GoFundMe accounts for him. And he's the guy that actually did this. Whether he was inspired to do it or not is irrelevant. He did it. And I think that's, you know, he's the guy that dropped 850,000 messages, classified messages on the world that cost people's lives. And I think that's where the accountability should be placed, right there.
getting away from Julian Assange just for a second, I've been looking and reviewing some of the things that you and I have talked about in prior segments and some even in this particular segment. I would predict at this moment in time, if nothing dramatic happens, the ticket could very possibly be Trump and Nikki Haley. Comments?
I think it's possible. I think it's unlikely. I think, I'm going to argue that I think it's probably more likely to be Trump if he decides to run. And there's some word out there that he may announce the 4th of July.
Right. I heard that yesterday.
Yeah. We'll see what happens if he does or not. But I would think Ron DeSantis would be a phenomenal running mate. I think, is it Kim Reynolds from Iowa?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, she's been a fantastic governor. I think she'd be a great candidate. I think Nikki Haley, if she was willing to cross over and say, hey, look, I support Trump, and oh, by the way, I'm not going to attack people who had serious questions about the elections in 2020, then she might, you know. And if she was able to say, hey, look, I can, I'm the balance that we could see with Trump, I think that would be the case. But I really do think Ron DeSantis in 2024, after two more years as governor of Florida, could establish a very solid entrenched system in Florida that would protect it from some of the craziness out there.
Yeah,
I think he'd be a phenomenal vice presidential candidate. I think Ted Cruz would be a phenomenal attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would select for attorney general. I think Nikki Haley would be a good person on the staff as long as you could trust her to be consistent with the policies of the future. And I think, you know, Kristi Noem out of South Dakota, she's governor, done a great job. She had some issues on kind of corporate connections to keep her from supporting gender, women, boys and girls sports. That cost her a lot of credibility.
Right.
But she's learning. She'd be another great potential candidate. I don't know about a vice presidential candidate, but definitely a good cabinet member. You've got to build a fairly strong team that says, I've got to cut federal spending by 15% to 20%. I've got to axe the people that are looking out at a central Washington view and forget about American citizens. I've got to give more responsibilities to the states and get rid of this federal overreach. That's what we need in America, and we need an entire team that's willing to do that. And I think a lot of people depend, you know, they look at the individual and think that they can control everything, you know, and let's be fair, you know, Biden is not controlling everything.
No.
Actually, he's not controlling anything, in my view. I think he's being controlled by a system and by people. You have to be pretty powerful, pretty influential. You have to have a lot of guts to make those kinds of decisions. And I'm not sure that people that have operated inside the vacuum of the Senate or small governments have the ability to be strong enough to overcome the negativity that will be thrown at them from the Democrats and the media. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to have someone that doesn't care. And you know what? Donald Trump don't care. He's willing to do what it takes for the nation.
Well, and he did that. I'm sorry, I'm looking for a name here. He did that, and it proved that he was right. Listen, you guys locally here, Jimmy and Laura are going to be out here in October. Dave Lobdell and obviously Barb and myself really need to take these guys out to dinner. We'd really enjoy that conversation that we could have in a more relaxed atmosphere. Jimmy, thanks for taking the time to do an extra editorial today.
Always a pleasure, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.